welcome to St. James Westminster on this lovely post-Canada Day weekend Sunday. Lots of sunshine. And in that regard, our post-service ritual today will be lemonade in the garden. And the Memorial Garden has undergone a significant refurbishment in plants and various things. So it'll be a chance for you all to gather out there. You can also gather in the hall to have lemonade, but that will be available immediately following the service. And we hope to have a chance to chat and catch up with everybody. I will welcome a group of people that have come to join us this morning, some folks from Holy Trinity St. Stephen's Memorial. For some reason, they wanted to come one last time to listen to some guy preach. It doesn't elude me that 5 years ago, the search committee for here was going over there to listen to somebody. And now they're here to listen as I'm going out the door and somebody new's coming in here. So who knows what all is going to happen. With that as a segue, the surveys have all been collated and the search committee will be working with the bishop from here to find a new rector for the parish of St. James Westminster at some time in a, I think, Barb, it's fair to say, not too distant future day that we'll have that done. So this morning we are on our first 9:30 service. For the balance of the summer, we'll have one service each Sunday morning at 9:30. And as our 8:30 service has always been a Book of Common Prayer service, and our 10:30 service has always been a Book of Alternative Services service, we did the Anglican thing and we met in the middle. We will alternate from week to week. So we start with the Book of Common Prayer service today. It's always good to go back to our traditions, and it actually kind of fits into some of the discussion of what I want to talk about in the homily this morning as well. A moment of quiet contemplation, and then we will begin our liturgy led by Barb.
Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
O Lord, we beseech thee mercifully to hear us, and grant that we, to whom thou hast given a hearty desire to pray, may by thy mighty aid be defended and comforted in all dangers and adversities, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the reading of the lesson.
A reading from the book of Galatians. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing it in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord appointed 70 others, and sent them on ahead of him in pairs, to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace,' to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we will wipe off in protest against you. Yet, know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.' The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us in our conscious life. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So, I've spent a lot of time struggling with how much I want to do with this pair of readings this morning to prevent the accusations of that was exceedingly long and exceedingly dull. I will give you some homework. Luke chapter 10. The gospel is part of Luke that is only in Luke. It's not in the other gospels. There is a chunk missing. You know, I say context, context, context all the time. So I invite you to go home, read it after you hear the rest of the homily. See if you can make connections. See if you can understand why those who put together the lectionary left out several verses. Galatians, the context, one of the earliest scriptures written. I can never repeat enough times that we seem to think the Bible is made in chronological order, and it's not. Luke's gospel was probably written after the year 70. Galatians was probably written somewhere in around 50. So what Paul is saying here is from a letter that was written 20 years before Luke was written, and at least 15 years before Mark, the first gospel, was written. And previous to this, Paul has done his missionary journeys. So we're putting the time frame to it, and understanding that after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, depending on how you want to put it all together, somewhere around the year 30, Paul goes out to people, to Gentiles, who've never heard of Jesus Christ. Or if they have, it's just in rumors coming down the road. And he teaches them what it is to be people of faith, people of Jesus. And then he goes back to Rome and or Jerusalem and various other places and waits to hear updates from the various communities that he preached to see how they were doing with the gospel. Galatians is written about one single subject: circumcision. Jewish folks required circumcision. Gentile folks did not. Paul went and taught the gospel, and then some other folks came in to Galatia and said, oh, no, no, if you want to be followers of Jesus, you have to be circumcised. Paul's answer is, and it's important, I think, to catch the nuances, if you want to be circumcised, go ahead. This is one that the ladies can say, hey, we can check out of this one. This is a guy thing. And we all cringe when we think about this kind of stuff. But the nuance is, if you want to, go ahead. If you don't want to, don't go ahead. But what you need to know is it's not central. And that's one thing that Paul never wavered on. It was always the main thing is the main thing. And so he was constantly telling people, and every letter he sent back to a church that he went and started. And stop and think of just what a task and what a miracle it must have been that one person who didn't see well, some have said that Paul was not easy on the eyes, that indicated that he was a homely person. But he goes in and preaches to these folks, and they convert. They leave the faith that has been theirs most of their lives, and they become followers of the way of Jesus. But then as every other group comes through, they pick up more things. As I've told you, for the folks that are here week by week, I'm rereading Justo Gonzalez's The Story of Christianity. I've made it all the way up to the year 500. And this is so common throughout church history. We have the gospel, but then we want, for reasons of power and control or for reasons of whatever, we want to tell people, well, you have to have faith in Jesus and this. And we continue in the church, and we've done this for 2,000 years, we continue to make it either or, not both and. So let me give you a few examples of what I'm trying to suggest here. This morning we use the Book of Common Prayer. Dates back to the mid-1500s. Yes, it's been updated. If you had an original Book of Common Prayer, none of us here would be able to read it. It was written in Old English, and it just doesn't make much sense. But until the late 1970s, early 1980s, All we did was continue to update it. The theology stayed the same. The Book of Alternative Services took us in a different direction. This is my summary of the theology between the two books. You can decide whether you agree or disagree. The Book of Common Prayer, theologically, focuses on our unworthiness, our humility, we must be humbled before God. The Book of Alternative Services focuses on our goodness, that as followers of Jesus, we stand for good. And both are right, and both are wrong, and both need to be seen together, not an either or. Now, I have said for a long time that I'm more comfortable with the Book of Alternative Services theology than with the Book of Common Prayer, but I love the majestic language and the cadence and the flow of the Book of Common Prayer. I don't think we should lose any of it. But here's the main focus of what I'm trying to get at. If it is not couched and it is not focused on the gospel imperative, which is love, it's just a clanging gong and a resounding cymbal, to quote Paul from somewhere else. When we try to understand things that are different, that change, that cause us to think, we must always first look to find love in its center. So let me stray into more difficult territory. Those who were here last week or listened online heard a brilliant homily from Hannah Scorer on National Indigenous Day, and she crossed into the whole understanding of the Supreme Court decision in the United States. And I thought it was brilliant. For me, the problem continues to be that one side doesn't talk to the other. I have not heard, since that Supreme Court decision in the United States, what I would like to hear, and that's two people who have totally opposite views sitting down and listening to one another. You get lots of media clips of, this is the greatest day ever, this is the worst day ever. What we need to always find, what we always need to look for, what Paul is saying in Galatians is that we'll always have differences of opinion. What we can never exclude is the gospel imperative to love one another. And the only way that we can love one another is to be in relationship with one another. Now, I can find hundreds of examples just in the last 20 or 30 years of times in our society when our communication does this. We know what we believe, they know what they believe, and never the twain shall meet. Take it all the way back to Jesus' ministry amongst us. Never back down from the rich and powerful. He always stood up and said, this is what I think. He always talked to those who were outcasts and weren't part of the center. He loved everyone that he met. And even if you want to take it to Luke's gospel this morning, what Jesus is saying is if you go into somebody's house and they'll have a conversation with you, if they will focus on the fact that we are human beings and we need to love one another, stay there. Build a relationship. If you go into someone's house and they say, we're right, you're wrong, and until you get down and grovel before us, we don't want anything to do with you. And Jesus says, that's when you leave. So if anybody thinks they heard me say that you should give up any of your own thoughts about any of the contemporary issues, that's not what I'm trying to say. You need to hold on to exactly what you think. But you need to find people who are willing to sit and have a discussion and talk to one another and come to an understanding, because that's the way we build relationships. If we put up a wall and throw rocks over the top of it, we will never do anything. if we take down a wall, put some tables and a pitcher of lemonade out, and sit down and talk for a while, we'll find out who the others are. And I think what we always find out is that those who are the most vociferous on both ends are the loudest. When we exclude those and bring everybody who's willing to be human and have a conversation and willing to come and sit down and talk in love, we will gain. We will grow. The problem is, it's not human nature. We all want to be right. I mean, silly people like me get upset when their football team doesn't win. And so we have to throw jabs at the people who like the other football teams. So we have to go against our own nature of wanting to always be right. And that's where we come to this fine balance, this fine line. Paul says some strong things. Now he says in this concluding chapter, God will not be mocked. Now, that's basically saying those who are against him are wrong. But then he goes on to actually address what's being said and what's being talked about. What we're always called to do is to do our best to love. To love one another. Peace is a path for God's feet. When we are at peace, when we are in relationship with one another, when we say to those who would make us go to the strident ends of the discussion, no, then we can find peace and love. I'll leave you with a thought. And I've had this conversation with several people, but it's 20 years ago that a gentleman named Harold and I sat down, and we were polar opposites. And we sat down one day and we had a conversation and said, what are those things about Jesus Christ, about the gospel of love, about the story of Christianity, what are the things that are non-negotiable? And as typical people, we didn't bother to write it down, so sometimes we had 6, sometimes we had 12, sometimes we had 14 different points, but they all were the same. And through all our difficulties and all our differences, we've had a 20-year friendship because we know what has to be for us to be friends, to have a relationship. And then we know that all the rest, we can sit and talk about. And we have gone miles theologically with each other because we will talk. So let me leave you with this. What are the non-negotiables of your faith? What are the things that you believe you must stand for as you enter in discussions? And are you then willing to do the hard work that Paul did of building relationships, of following through, so that together you can grow?
Thank you.
Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. All that is in the heaven and on the earth is thine. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we giveth thee. Let us pray for Christ's holy Catholic Church. I invite you to take a position that is comfortable for you in prayer. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all peoples, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to lead all nations in the way of righteousness and so to guide and direct their governors and rulers, that thy people may enjoy the blessings of freedom and peace. And grant unto thy servant Elizabeth our queen and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially administer justice to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. And in this Canada Day long weekend, we continue to pray for our country. We continue to pray that we might stand for love and truth, relationship, that we might face the difficult problems that we have as Canadians. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, and especially to thy servant Todd, our bishop, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and living word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. Prosper, we pray thee, all those who proclaim the gospel of thy kingdom among the nations, and to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, especially those for whom our prayers are now desired, Dan, Peter, Sylvia, David, Stella, Anna, Emerson, Rick, Rita, Rich, Al, Marilyn, those who you add before God, either aloud or in the silence of your own hearts. We remember before thee, O Lord, all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, and we bless thy holy name for all who in life and death have glorified thee, beseeching thee to give us grace that rejoicing in their fellowship we may follow their good examples, and with them be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, O mediator and advocate, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. He that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead the new life following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and weaknesses, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent in our heart and sorry for these our misdoings. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever thereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear what comfortable words our Savior Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying and worthy of all people to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, Creator and Preserver of all things. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord, and most high. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessing and glory and thanksgiving be unto thee, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thy only Son, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made thereby as one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and that instituted in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memorial of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, and most humbly beseech thee, and grant that you receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it, in remembrance of me. Wherefore, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, we thy humble servants, with all thy holy church, remembering the precious death of thy beloved Son, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming again in glory,
we make before thee in this sacrament of the holy bread of eternal life and the cup of everlasting salvation the memorial which he hath commanded. And we entirely desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And we pray that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, all we who are partakers of this Holy Communion may be fulfilled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And with thy spirit.
We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord. Trusting in our righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so we can flesh it by your Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed with his most precious blood, and that we may look forward unto him. In us. Amen. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace.
As we have several visitors today, it's probably best that I run through our protocol for communion so that we're not all running into each other in the aisles and wondering where we're supposed to go. So what we have done for the last little while is have people come to the front. As you can see, we have kneelers at the front. So you may stand or kneel to receive both the bread on this side, the wine on this side. No one is required to receive either or both. So many people are still uncomfortable with receiving from the common cup. So please don't feel that you have any obligation to do that. Communion in either kind is a valid communion. So you come forward, receive the bread. If you wish to receive the wine, move to the wine station. If not, you can simply return to your seat. Usually it's easiest to come down the center aisle and go back around the sides if you can. If all of that just sounds too confusing and you'd just like to come up for a blessing, when you get to the front, cross your arms like this, and I would be happy to give you a blessing. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee that thou hast graciously feed us in these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, assuring us thereby of thy favor and goodness towards us. And that we are living members of this mystical body, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord,
ourselves, our souls, and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee. And although we are unworthy, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bound obedient service, not laying our errors but pardoning our offenses. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom and thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst us this day